I was remembering in the break, I was remembering Dadiji, Dadi Kumarika. And the scene was very, very busy. Yeah. The scene was very busy. We had gone to Hyderabad in the south of India, and they were celebrating, I think, 30 years of activities, something like that. And in one day, I mean, we think that we are busy. I should see Daddy's program. You know how the traffic is in the big cities in India, yeah? Chaos. And in one day, she inaugurated 4 places. She had 2 interviews in different places. She had a talk at lunchtime, a dinner in the evening, and also a public lecture somewhere. And each place was in a different part of the city. So she had invited 4 or 5 foreigners to go with her. And so we were in the car behind, right? And so follow wherever she went, we went, right? So go here, then go there, and then do this, cut the ribbon, break the coconut, then go here, then interview, you know? And because we were just sort of accompanying her, we became extremely tired. And at the end of the day, we were back in the center, and we were having, she was having some milk before she went to bed. And so I asked her, Daddy, how can you, you know, stay so fresh? You've been, it's been an incredibly busy day. How do you stay so fresh? And she just said, but what did I do today? But Daddy, you did this and this and this and this and, you know. She said, I didn't do anything. Baba was taking me with her, with him. And it was really true that the ego of body consciousness was not present the whole day. And so the conclusion is, what makes us tired is the ego of body consciousness. The body conscious I, yeah? That's what makes us tired. Because you're trying to prove something, you're trying to conquer something, you're trying to get somewhere, you're trying to sort out something. As a soul, you don't have anything to sort out. Nothing. The body conscious soul has so many things to sort out. The soul conscious soul has nothing to sort out. Have you ever noticed how grass makes so much effort to grow? Have you noticed that? It really is there struggling, you know, to come out of the ground and reach the light. Have you noticed how much struggle it is? There's none. Grass does what grass does. Trees do what trees do. Clouds do what clouds do. Souls should do what souls do. That's it. That's effort. And you say, what? Nothing more? No. That's it. Souls do what souls do. What does a soul do? Huh? Good question. What does a soul do? All a soul does is be. That's it. Anything more? You know, happiness is not something that you conquer. Happiness is a state. A state of being. Peace is not something that after a long struggle, finally you become peaceful. No. It's you are peaceful already. You do not have to make an effort to be a soul. You do not have to make an effort to be a peaceful soul. You are. Right? You are. So we have a sort of a wrong slant on things, I suppose. That's the best way to put it. Now I want to show you like the essence of what we were just doing is this one. All of the things in our lives, you know, there's this inner self, and this is what happened, what I was trying to explain before. These are two individuals, right? And this is the outer shell where we see the personality, probably. This will be the personality, the sanskars. The personality is the sanskars that have manifested. The sanskars have manifested in some way or the other. And it's very, you know, you can, it's like a pattern of behavior that repeats. The personality. I like, it's like the result of something. And the personality here is completely different. And these two people are trying to get along. The problem is, the triangle, the triangular personality wants the round personality to become more triangular. And the round personality wants the triangular personality to be more round. How come you are not like me? If you ever have a conflict with anyone, the deep, let's say the foundation of the conflict is the thought, why isn't that person like me? Which is ridiculous, right? Who can be me? Who else can be me? No one. So what's, so you're in that sort of a situation, why don't you understand the way I understand? I do not understand why you do not understand how I understand. It's ridiculous. Now, this personality we know, the first manifestation of the soul is the mind, right? And again, the minds will operate differently, you know. The first manifestation of the consciousness is the mind. It's like the first expression. And the second manifestation of the consciousness is the intellect. Yeah, maybe we need another. This is an intellect. Right? Two intellects. And of course the intellects also function differently. The way I understand things is different from the way you understand things. The way I associate things is different from the way the other one associates. I have a better memory or a worse memory than someone else. So my intellect has a different level. After all, what do these two individuals have in common? What do they have in common? They're both points of light. They are both peaceful souls, loveful souls, blissful souls, right? But between me, let's say this is me, and this is the other person, let's say this is the one who, with whom I have a karmic account, so there are, you know, conflicts from time to time, fighting, one is throwing stuff to the other and back again, you know, they're tied together, let's say this is a husband and wife, right? And can you imagine a cart where the wheels, one is a triangular wheel and the other is a round one, and they're trying to move together. So how does it move? Right? Right? Ungracefully. So when you have an expectation of someone, it's like tying yourself up to that person. They move, you move. They go, you go. Who would like to be completely free of anyone and everything? Because freedom has two sides, right? Freedom from something and freedom to. If you don't, freedom is from, I'll be free from this, I'll be free from that one, I'll be free from this difficulty, I'll be free from thinking so much. But free to, It only has sense if I have the, you know, I'm free to serve, right? This is how I have to complete. This is from so many things. But the two part of the freedom is to serve. And Baba says, if you have a difficulty or a karmic account with someone, Baba will say, serve that soul. Serve the soul. Serve the soul. What does serving the soul mean? Anyone? Yeah? Huh? To be, okay. What does it mean to serve the soul? Serve someone spiritually. Yeah, come here. The translator is also part of the course, right?
To resolve the karma with that person, maybe. Huh? By serving.
To resolve the karmic account.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that may be a result. Jonathan. And then?
I just think good wishes and pure feelings or mansa seva without doing anything practically, but just good wishes.
Okay. Yeah, you too.
To serve is to give good wishes and good feelings to it, and also respect that soul.
To give them space to develop, even by learning from their own mistakes.
Okay, reasonable. Yeah, reaching Baba and giving Baba's energy to the soul. What do you got to say? Come down the front.
I'm saying to connect that soul to their original or highest self, or to connect them to Baba if they're a BK knowledge.
You're getting close, yeah?
To give what I have the best inside.
To give the best that I have inside me, yeah. Yeah?
To be a detached observer and like an instrument. Instrument and detached observer for the soul.
To help them.
Speak really straight into the mic like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To help them to find your own identity.
Good. It's all of these things. So you're all right, right? Baba will say all right, all correct.
I think on two levels. One is on practical level to meet their needs, because there is something that the soul is looking for, and then of course to be there for them in terms of being compassionate and understanding, which is, you know. I think that's...
Yeah, okay. Last one. Oh, it's good. Everyone's getting involved here. This is fantastic.
To see the other as a soul.
To see them as a soul.
Yes.
Okay. It's all a mixture of all of these things.
I think before doing anything, it's important to become yourself stronger.
Yeah. In this case, for example... Let's say there's a really strong karmic account, yeah, with someone. And you want to help that person, right? Of course, Baba will say, why are you wanting to help that particular individual? It's because it will be more convenient for you if that person is less troublesome. That's not the right motive, is it? I want to be free from that individual. I want to help that individual because it will help me. No, that's not the right motive. It has to be the other way around. I have to help me so that I can help that individual. Right? Because between these two points of light, there's a story, right? If there's a karmic, you know, there's some story. It goes back a long way. Right? There are probably roles involved in relationships and expectations. And sometimes, let me tell you, it's the fake sort of harmony, where a false type of harmony, for example, I have fear and he has arrogance, and so let's dance. Right? He's a very aggressive person, and I'm a very fearful person, so let's harmonize. That's not harmony. It's a game, isn't it? If I respect you, you will respect me. If you don't respect me, I won't respect you. And we call that respect, right? It's not harmony. Harmony is only possible between virtues. Never harmony is possible between defects. Yeah? So, between me and this other individual, there are two minds, there are two intellects, and there are two sets of personalities. And any combination of all of those six things. So there are thousands of combinations, right? My mind does not get along with your intellect. Your personality does not suit my intellect. My personality does not get along with your mind. That sort of thing. So there's lots of things that can go wrong. And the only way through this, and the only way really to help that individual, and this is the great test of our detachment, I have to go beyond all of this black stuff, right? I have to see beyond that. I have to go beyond the intellectual comparisons. And I have to go beyond the unstable minds. Yeah? That's the only way I can really help that individual. That if I can see this, and I can see, behind the veils and the curtains of ignorance and defects and stories, right? So, like, if you're giving good wishes to someone who makes you suffer, what is there actually? There's a preface, right? There's something before that and after that. So, poor thing, I'll give him some. Poor person, I'll send him some good wishes. You know, pity is not the same as good wishes, right? It's not. It means that you're suffering. So if you try to help someone who makes you suffer, you have to first of all go beyond the suffering. Otherwise, you're just really inside your own head. You're not even reaching the other person. It's just in your own mind. You know, Babu will say, check your results, your real results. You know, how free are you really? How free are you to serve? Yeah? And if you have something that holds you back, Baba will say, serve that person. Serve that soul. See them as a soul and serve from the soul. Yeah? This is going back to like what we were saying before the break. You know, there are different pieces of the jigsaw puzzle of life, right? All of these things are there. And mostly, most of the time, this is really just a summary, most of the time we live like that. There's no rhythm, right? It's all over the place. And if my mind is like you ever seen a water hose that's been turned on and no one's holding it? Yeah? It's the loose hose all over the place. So if my mind is like that, my life will be like that. My life, in fact, is... When I see my life, I see my mind. Because, you know, what is it after all? It's just coming out of me, isn't it? I see the effect of my own thinking and my own feelings and my own, you know, my own stuff. But if I can go into that deep state, right, and see everything from the same stage, I can organize things better. I can contextualize my life better. I will see the real connection that I have with this person or with that thing, which I won't see, you know, in the mess. So it's much easier to live like that. You'll probably have less thoughts. And you'll think better. You'll think less and you'll think better. And that's a good objective, isn't it? I was recently I was with the executives of the airport authority in the north of Brazil, northeast. And they wanted to talk about peace. Very interesting. As you know, next year the World Cup football will be in Brazil. Maybe you don't know, yeah? But for that they have to fix up the airports, right? They have to make sure that the airports are better and they're going to receive millions of more people. So I was with these executives and they were very stressed out, you know, very stressed people. And I asked them, can you imagine if you ran your airports like you run your minds? How would it look, how would it be? And they said, oh, no way. The busiest airport in Brazil has a flight every 2 minutes, okay? Every 2 minutes there's a flight taking off or landing. And I said, our mind is like an airport because from our minds things land and things take off. But let's say the frequency is much greater than an airport. Let's say something happens every 2 seconds, not just every 2 minutes. In one day, of 24 hours, there are 1,440 minutes. Okay? That's how many minutes there are in a day. Seems a lot, doesn't it? Let's say, just to make the calculation easier, we subtract the 440 minutes, which is a little over 7 hours. Lucky people sleep that much. Most of us don't sleep that much. I certainly don't sleep that much. So there's 1,000 minutes left over. And you have one sort of mental activity every 2 seconds. Right? So there are 30 lots of 2 seconds in a minute. So, every 2 seconds, that's 30,000 things every day going through your mind. Ideas, memories, bits and pieces of all of those things, you know, this, that one, this one, memories of the past, everything swirling around in an apparently random fashion, and you have to make sense of all of that. Do you try to control all of the 30,000 bits? Is that a reasonable way to do it? Try to control the 30,000 bits? A lot of people think that that's the way you should do it. But the thing is, thoughts take birth in our consciousness. Right? And in this, if you look at life, there's me, there's the situation, there are the other people. What can I control? Can I control others? Have you tried? Can I control situations? You know, try to control the situations like someone sitting on a beach telling the ocean, "Ocean, please send me this size wave. I don't like these big ones." Right? I want nice waves, please. Mr. Ocean, send me nice waves. I don't want these rough ones. So you can't really control situations. You can only control yourself. So if you don't control yourself, you control absolutely nothing. You don't control anything if you don't control yourself. So, going on from there, what actually is happening, and we're going to do a little game in a minute. This is sort of what I was just talking about before. This is the building that we were talking about. You could say that conscious mind is what's in your mind now, at this moment. That's the conscious mind. The subconscious is the result of the nearest birth to now, actually. It's the result of the things, even from your things that you've forgotten completely, even from this birth or from some recent birth. But you can access that if you go deep. That's why regression therapy, they can take people back a few births. They can't take people back many births, just a few. Then you've got the unconscious, or the sort of the births that we, you know, quite distant from us. That's where the unconscious is. And there are impressions that do affect us. It's like, I don't know how you translate this, you know, the ballast they put in boats to keep the boat stable, right? It's like they put sort of, sometimes they use just water, sometimes they use rocks. But it's to keep, they put it in the bottom of a boat, underneath where the things are, to keep the boat stable. They call it ballast. So our unconscious is a sort of a ballast. And if there's stuff there that's not so good, that will also rock the boat in the conscious mind. And then you have the innate original qualities in the basement, right? So that this blue line here is the surface. So what's above the surface is conscious, and then below it is the subconscious, then the unconscious, and then the innate qualities. And they do impact the way we are, because our basic drives, our basic inclinations are the results of our original qualities. You know, what was love in the beginning? Real, pure, unlimited love. With time, that love became attachment. So loving everything to loving one thing or one person at the exclusion of other things and other persons. So love became attachment, right? And so on. You could say that peace became the fight for security. You know, you could say there's a connection between what was originally peace and anger. Because anger is like trying to keep the peace. You know? It's like a guard of the castle of illusions. We have the illusion that everything is okay, and so there must be a guard who's patrolling the walls of the castle. If anyone disturbs my peace, watch out. You know? So there's a connection. And it's the same for everyone. The original qualities are exactly the same for everyone. Yeah? Not maybe the... So we're in the conscious world, and we're trying to bring out our innate qualities. We're trying to go down there. We're trying to go into ourselves and bring out the best of us and keep it there, right? That would be the ideal. Imagine if you could go down, bring out your peace and keep it there forever. How would you feel? Yeah? Pretty good, huh? But you know, like in the, I've never really understood football, because I played rugby when I was younger. Football, I can never understand a game where you play for 90 minutes and the result is 0-0. What a stupid game. I like basketball, you know, 120-95, you know, something like that, but 0-0. And why is the game 0-0 after 90 minutes? Some teams, even after 10 games, they've only scored one goal, you know. So where does the game get stuck? Midfield. Midfield, right? Most games get stuck in midfield. So our game also gets stuck in midfield somewhere, right? We're trying to bring out the staff, but it gets stuck. All of these midfielders, you know, they're blocking our attempts. So we're trying to, you know, that's probably not the way. I don't need to know my previous birth, actually. I just need to know my original stage. Because what we do in meditation, we go straight there. We go straight there. Ignore all of these other things. It's just detail. You know? Focus, meditation, and tomorrow we're going to do this, as I've said to you, tomorrow we're going to talk about how to always be successful every time you meditate. Is that okay? So meditation, the ultimate goal of meditation is to experience one or the other of our own original qualities. Yeah? And if more and more I do that, more and more I move away from these games, you know? More and more I can see the soul in others. As much as I can see the soul in myself, that's exactly how much I see the soul in others. So, from the inside out, you know, I go down, you know, through soul consciousness, and I bring up the stuff. You know, the problem is that we're living on the top floor, right? We've forgotten that all of the good stuff is in the basement, and the lift is not working, and we are lazy. So what happens? We live here, and in our apartment, right, we spend the whole time moving things from one side to the other. And then we move them from that side to the other side. Then we move them from the other side to this side. And we even give different names to the same things as we move those things around. And we think, well, that looks good now, you know. And you're okay for a few days, and wait a minute, this is not right. Let me move this from here to here. It probably looks better. You know, a spiritual effort is not about renovating our apartment. It's about getting the good stuff that's in the basement and bringing it into the changing, using our own original qualities to change our lives, basically. So therefore, meditation, which is just a sort of a pleasant detachment, does not work. You know, the sort of, and then this happened, and then that happened, and I was walking in a garden, and Baba came along, gave me a flower. It's romantic, but it doesn't change you. The only thing that changes us is the seed stage. And the seed stage is the stage of pure soul consciousness. As I said yesterday, I experience my own original qualities. Baba helps me do that. I'm in meditation, not just sitting there in front of Baba and admiring his qualities. Oh God, you are great, you are wonderful. you are fantastic. You are the ocean of love and bliss and so on. Oh, fantastic, wonderful. Ah, then finish. The time is over. You haven't changed anything. You've probably reinforced your sanskars of devotion only. Right? So, I'm going to look at that tomorrow. And this is an example that's been around for years. The story of this is interesting. You've seen a coconut, right? Maybe Russia has never seen coconuts, right? Do they have coconuts in Moscow? In the supermarket? Okay. Good. Not on the beach, right? We've got a retreat center in Brazil near the beach, and there are coconuts everywhere. Anyway, I was to give a talk at a conference on quality and productivity. And it was a 3-day conference with a lot of engineers. And the organizers wanted me to do the final address, you know, to sort of help them, you know, give them positive message or whatever. And there were about 800 there. So I walked in, it was the 3rd day of the Congress, and it was 6 o'clock in the afternoon. How do you think the energy level was? 3rd day of a Congress, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. How was the energy level? Most of them were sleeping. Bored, you know, finish, let's finish and go home. So I walked in there, I said, no, this is, how am I going to give a talk to people who are asleep? And in front of the auditorium there was a vegetable market. So I was walking through there looking for an idea, thinking about what I'm going to, and I saw someone selling coconuts. So I bought one, you know, not the green coconuts that they sell here, like you can drink, the brown ones, which are more mature. And I picked out the ugliest looking coconut that was there. Right? And in between, I asked the guy to puncture the hole, and I drank out the coconut water that was inside. So I walked into the auditorium with a coconut, right? And then they invited me to come on stage. Okay. So I walk in the... They said, what is this? I said, don't worry, I'm going to use it in my talk. So after I started, I asked them, let's imagine that your kids living in Siberia, right? You've never seen something like this in your life. Let's say you haven't studied about it either. They don't have these maybe in the supermarkets in Siberia. What is this thing? What is this thing? It's a hairy ball, you know, it's a bomb, you know, whatever. A shrunken head. And I said, if I told you that inside this is a delicious liquid, and there's a very nice soft white flesh that's really delicious also, what would I have to do to the coconut to prove that to you? What did they tell me? Break it, okay, thank you. Because I calculated the floor in this auditorium was a marble floor. Right? If it was a wooden floor, it wouldn't work. So marble floor, coconut. I took the coconut, I asked forgiveness of the organizers, and I smashed the coconut on the floor. First objective achieved. Everyone woke up. Then I started to tell them, but we are like this coconut. Ugly on the outside, nice on the inside. You know, hard. And the shell, the brown part, The brown part is the limited body conscious ego. The I am so-and-so, I did this, or I am BK so-and-so, I am from such and such a center. It's the same. We talked about that yesterday. Right? So if you live in the brown part, you probably die of hunger because you can't eat it. If you try to live off your own ego, you will never be happy. Right? If you try to live off things that you did marvelously some years ago, so what? Right? You were good when you were five years ago. But what about now? You can't live off your ego, your limited ego. You can only live off your own inner qualities. You know, we try to get happiness out of saying I did this or did that and I was like this and we try to get some happiness, right? Is someone out there who respects me? Look what I did. I did great things. Respect me, please. Please respect me. And then we all walk around with a t-shirt that says on the back, please respect me because I don't know how to do it for myself. So there's a deep relationship between self-respect and soul-consciousness, right? So I'm soul-conscious, self-respect is not even a question of effort. It's there. So I am that. I am that. And so you've got this sort of, you know, this core of innate qualities, the original qualities. And then the challenges come from the outside world. We have to learn to respond to those challenges, not from the shell, not from the experiences of the ego, of body consciousness, but from the core. If I can learn to respond to things from my original qualities, I will notice that my life becomes freer. So I respond from the ego, I'm just multiplying or complicating the account. If I learn to respond to things from my original qualities, I'm becoming free and I'm making others free from me. Yeah? So, you've probably seen this one too, right? Have you seen this diagram? When I came into Gyan, there were no books and there were no mulis even in English. It was like, understand all of this Indian stuff or you're out, you know. The only Gyan books were about how Shiva is not Shankar and things like that. Completely irrelevant. Especially you don't know who Shiva is, you don't know who Shankar are. So what? They're different. Right? Lakshmi Narayan? What? Can't even pronounce the names. So, for my own self, and since I was a long way away from many places, I had to start to codify the Gyan for myself. So I started to work with this sort of diagram. And this was from that time. What the mind is, basically, is the experience of the moment. That's the activity of the mind. Your state of, your mood is the state of the mind at the moment. The feeling that you have, you know, the tiredness and all of those sorts of things are mind things. The experience of this moment. Hungry, it's like the message comes through the body straight to the mind. Lunchtime. The stomach is making noises and it says, mind, get yourself ready. Eat. Move your body towards the dining area. So the mind is the experience of the moment. The intellect is the experiencer, right? The one who is experiencing. So it takes the experience of the mind and sort of, what is this? What do I do with this? How do I process this experience? Whatever it is, whatever the experience is, a sensation, it can be a memory of a situation that caused sorrow or happiness, whatever. And the sanskaras is the record of the previous experiences. So you've got experiences, the experience, and the experiencer, the one who experiences. So those things work together in a completely integrated way. They interact with each other, actually. They interact with each other permanently. So sanskaras affect intellect, sanskaras affect mind. Mind affects intellect, mind affects sanskaras. Intellect affects mind, intellect affects sanskaras. Continuously, 24 hours a day, 30,000 bits of stuff, if that process is out of control. Maybe more. I can imagine some people have 50,000 bits. Right? So, the state of consciousness is key. The key to all this. Because according to your state of consciousness, those three things work. Those three things dance according to your state of consciousness. So if you are soul conscious, the sort of sanskaras that you are accessing are related to your soul, your deep soul, your relationship with God, your divine experiences. You know, the memories of great things that you had with Baba, for example. And if you're body conscious, you're accessing a whole lot of other sanskaras which are related to your relationships, your roles, your connections with others, as Baba was saying in the Muli today. It's through the body consciousness that we continue our attachments. They are only attachments because of body consciousness. So if there's no body consciousness, the attachments are already cut. Because as a soul, I don't have an attachment to anybody. It's only through the body. That's what Baba said today. Yeah? So the state of consciousness, and this is what we're going to work with tomorrow, that affects those three things in a completely, you know, direct way. If you want to get to the culprit, the one to blame for whatever we're going through, it's the state of consciousness ultimately. So if I want to change, I have to change my state of consciousness. It's not a question which, let me control my thoughts. Oh, my intellect is all over the place. Look at these sanskaras. We make lists of virtues and defects and, you know. No. The cause of all of that is the state of consciousness. And it's no use trying to make lists unless you really change your state of consciousness. Don't make lists. Wait a minute, come down the front or get the mic.
How would you check to respond, that you're responding from the inner core? How would one do that? And how do you check the inner self? I think they're connected, but...
Okay, that's tomorrow.
Okay.
Come back tomorrow and you will hear the answer. No. No. In the next episode. No, I'm joking. But really, tomorrow we're going to go into that definitely. But just to finish off today, right? What happens in meditation? There's Baba, right? And every woman would like peace of mind, yeah? But peace of mind is a result of other things. So the first thing that happens in meditation is that the intellect remembers, right? But it can only happen if the state of consciousness is right. It's the soul that meditates. Therefore, if you are not soul conscious, you cannot meditate. If you're thinking about this one and that one and the other thing, all of the things connected with your body, your leg is hurting and your back is sore, and you know, and your neighbor's screaming and, you know, whatever. You skipped lunch and you're hungry, and you want to, all of those things at the same time, and you sit down to meditate, you're going to start thinking about bananas and, you know, start thinking about maybe not bananas but beans and rice, whatever. You're going to start thinking about the other people. So be soul conscious, then you can remember. And that connection, right, brings first of all power. The intellect needs power, and the intellect needs wisdom in order for there to be pure sanskars. So this kicks up the pure sanskars. The purest sanskars are in me at this moment. So through connection with Baba, that power and that understanding brings up the purity somewhere. And that purity actually brings the peace to the mind. And because you're feeling so good, you really, you know, have such love for Baba, right? You feel so close, right? This is yoga. This is yoga. It's not the pleasant detachment that happens in our meditation commentaries. It's yoga. And tomorrow we're going to go into this very deeply, this one. Like today we did quite a bit of meditation, at least of the 3 hours, at least we did 50 minutes, we did 50 minutes of meditation, almost 1 hour of meditation. So tomorrow will be similar, okay? So let's finish off with a few minutes of, or a couple of minutes of silence, okay?